our chavara. We had the we had candle lighting to bring in the Shabbat. We had our James study. And you know, we were reading in James. We only got through in two times that we've had our study. So far, we've got through a blazing 11 verses. That's the way to study Scripture, though. Nice and slow, interactive. And what we're reading is, at the beginning of James, is how to get through trials and tribulations. How to do that. And it kind of works in with today's message as well. Because let me say something that everybody knows. Life is hard. And it's not just one hard thing. It's a hard thing. And then another hard thing. And then another hard thing. And they just keep going. It's a list of continuous hard things. That's what life is. And some people absolutely have harder things that they go through than others. And that's not to say that the things that you're going through are easy. We all go through hard things. And I'm reminded about this, not just in my own life, but in some of the phone calls that I received, especially this week. People were calling me, and I'm very glad that people call. I am very glad to be able to help. I'm very glad to be able to pray when I can, over them when they call. And I always do pray. But the thing to remember is there are going to be hard times in our lives. There are going to be defeats just as much as there are going to be victories. There are going to be times of defeat and trials in our life. What we need to remember is that there is a final victory that we can look forward to. Unlike the struggles that we all go through, which can look different for each one of us, the final victory that we can look forward to is going to look the same for each one of us. And that's what I want to encourage you today. The Ruach HaKodesh helps us with daily struggles, without a doubt. But sometimes in everyone's life, it feels like the battles pile up. They push back. The world is pushing back on us so hard. It can feel like we're lost. It can feel like we're losing. It can feel like we've already lost. I want to say to each of us today, you have not lost the war. And will not lose the war as long as you keep getting up, as long as you keep battling. Now, this is not one of those messages that just say, just keep getting up, just keep going. It's true, but there's a little more than that to this message, so stay with me. We need to keep in mind that so much of Scripture really is prophetic in that we're promised the victory, but we want to assume that that victory is supposed to mean now, here, right now. That final victory should be ours right now. But it's, the unfortunate hard truth is that final victory is not right now. We don't get that final victory until the final day of earth. Not even, it doesn't happen until Adonai rolls up the sky like a scroll. That's when the final victory kicks in. So what does Scripture say about victory in our lives? Throughout the Psalms, we are told that Adonai is our help and that the victory is ours. Let's look at Psalm 54 today as an example. Psalm 54, 6 through 9. In the English versions, it's 4 through 7. So it says, "Surely God is my helper. My Lord is the supporter of my soul. Let evil return to my foes. Silence them with your truth. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Adonai, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all trouble, and my eye has gazed upon my enemy. So it starts off with, surely God is my helper. That's a whole lot different than, sure, God's my helper. Surely God is my helper. It's a definitive statement. Know it. Take hold of it. Remember that. And the final verse there, that one that says that, for he has delivered me from all my troubles, my eye has gazed upon my enemy. Many versions don't just say that the psalmist looks upon his enemy, but looks triumphantly on the enemies. If Satan's our enemy, and we know that he is, then we have not seen that final triumph yet. Because I have not looked upon Satan triumphantly every day. He has not come to his final yet. So I know that that time's not here yet. Adonai is still my helper and lifter, and will continue to be. But don't think that we're to stop the struggles just because it hasn't happened yet. Because he has not stopped keeping his promises, Adonai has not stopped. We are not at the end, or as it's called, the final battle yet. However, it's important to remember that end. It's important to remember the final battle in order to see the victory today. If we only look at the now, or we only remember the victories of the past, and not the victory that we're told of for all eternity, then we open ourselves up to seeing defeat now, to being run down, to being just worn down, thinking that the setback that we go through today is that final act of life will cause us to stop the race right where we are. Why bother? Why continue to go on, they could say. This is Satan's hope for your life. He wants you run down. He wants you to give up. Going through battles now does not mean that it's the final battle, though. As we read through Scripture and the battles that Israel and the others go through, we're never led to believe that the battle that they are going through is the final battle and there will be no more struggles for them, just like there are no more struggles for us. It's just not true. Moses and the Israelites saw what was one of the greatest victories that Adonai handed to them when the Egyptians tried to chase them down through the separated Red Sea. After the victory in Exodus 15, we read this, the first five verses of Exodus 15. Then Moses and Bnei Israel sang this song to Adonai. I will sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider has been thrown into the sea. Adonai is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will glorify him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Adonai is a warrior. Adonai is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army has hurled into the sea. And his chosen captains have sunk into the depth, into the sea of reeds. The depths cover them. They sank into the depths like a stone. The victory was complete. The chariots and armies hurled into the sea. The best of the captains sunk down like a stone. But do we believe that that was the end of the story for the Israelites? They still had much to do after that. In fact, we're still completing that same struggle that they had. In many ways, we're still struggling just like they did. And if you think that going forward in history to the coming Messiah Yeshua on earth as the end of the story, the end of our struggles, that would be premature again. There are places in Scripture that we see the coming of Messiah Yeshua, a couple of different places. And one of them is in Revelation. We see that the child was born in Revelation 12. So let's read the first 5 verses of Revelation 12. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She is pregnant, crying out in birth pains and agony to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, a great fiery red dragon that had 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 royal crowns on his head. His tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven. It hurled them to the earth. Now the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that whenever she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away to God and to his throne. I think we all know here, the mother is Israel. The child is Messiah Yeshua. The dragon is Satan. Messiah is born and taken to his throne, to his father. So do we say, hallelujah, the battle is over, let's close the books and have lunch? No, we don't. Because there's still chapter 13 of Revelation, chapter 14, chapter 5, all the way up through chapter 21 and 22. And it's not until 22 that we see the second coming of Messiah. When we see him restore and bring salvation for all eternity, for all who maintain the faith and are not fooled into thinking that the final victory is now and stops trying. War and life are never won without setbacks, though. Without setbacks and defeats. Now, allow me to give you an example. In the game of chess, every game is a war. That's the game. It's a war game. Each battle, each move is a battle. Pieces are moved about and they fight on the board. No one wins at chess without losing some pieces. While playing, you may lose a bishop, but win the game. If you were to bemoan the loss of the single piece in the game, you're going to lose concentration and eventually lose the entire game. When you win the game, you don't mourn the individual pieces that you've lost, but celebrate the final victory. This is life as well. The difference is that during a chess match, the outcome is never determined until the end of the game. I've seen games with dramatic comebacks. It's different in our lives, though. That's because during our lives, the final outcome has already been determined and the victory has already been had. That's because the game is really rigged. Life is rigged. Do you realize that? Life is a rigged game. The outcome is failed safe. There can be no other outcome regardless of what the enemy does. Adonai created the board. He created the game. He created the rules and will not lose. And we're along with him for that game. The final victory is already determined. The only way that you can lose the final battle, that final victory, is if you jump from Adonai's side of the board to the opponent's side of the board. That's the only way you could lose. As we read through Scripture, we see that Satan thought he won the final battle. We must not dwell on things that our eyes look at those trials and those defeats, because we know that the victory that's assured at the end, the things we go through now will not stand the test of time, just as Satan himself will not stand the test of time. It may appear that Satan's eternal, but he's not. He had an actual beginning. He's going to have an actual end. He is not eternal. Satan thought he won the ultimate contest in the final battle with the death of Messiah at the stake. Could you imagine his victory dance? I killed the Messiah. I killed the Messiah. Instead, the death was the price paid for our sin, but also not the end of the war. Satan may have thought that he won, but it was actually his defeat. Satan didn't know what Adonai knew, or what Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was to write about in Colossians. Colossians 2:13 says this, starting there. You were buried along with him in immersion, him not by obviously being Messiah Yeshua. You were buried along with him in immersion, through which you also were raised with him by trusting in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he pardoned us all our transgressions. He wiped out the handwritten record of debts with the decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He took it away by nailing it to the tree or to the cross. After disarming the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the tree or in the cross. Satan could not see the ramifications of his actions or the actions of Yeshua. We are the same way as Satan is in many ways. Only it's the opposite. He thought he had victory. So many people think they have defeat. So many think that final battle is over and they've lost. It's far from the truth. We need to see not with our own eyes and understanding, but we need with the eyes and understanding of Adonai. Yes, his thoughts are greater than our own, but they're also greatly truer than our own. We have to resist thinking that Satan, we have to resist thinking like Satan, that the final battle was when he saw Yeshua on the stake. Because he was wrong. What he saw was his defeat. He just doesn't want to accept it yet. And perhaps you could say that we saw our final victory, but seeing is not having it yet. We are to continue to hold on to the belief that victory is ours, given by Yeshua, not won by our own actions. But we will not actually have hold of it until the end of days. That is why we're to run a good race until the end. Because that is when and where the final battle, the final victory, will be handed over to you. We should ask ourselves, what does that final victory look like? And how do we know that we do not currently have that final victory? Well, Rav Shaul not only encourages the Ephesians, but us as well, that we are saved by the blood of Yeshua, but gives a hint about that final battle, if we have eyes to see it. Ephesians, starting in 2:5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive with Messiah. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua, to show in the Olam Haba the measureless riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Messiah Yeshua. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. Rav Shaul is saying that Adonai is to show us the great love and mercy in the times to come, or in the fullness of times, the great victory we already have. Olam Haba is a term, a Jewish term, that means the world to come. Or many in Judaism would say it's the afterlife. It's easy to get confused about whether we have salvation yet or not. We look around and we see those fighting alongside with Messiah getting beaten up, though, and limping. And we ask, do they have the victory? You have the victory also now, though. They have the victory also now. You may not see the final that victory. You may not see that final victory, but it is yours, and you should live like it. This is the way I think about it. My whole life, I've been saving up for retirement. All right, maybe I got started a little late, but for most of my life, I've been saving up for my retirement. Our retirement. Thank you, Ripperson. She's been helping. We've been putting money in the bank weekly. Every time we get paid, it goes into the bank. Hey. Now let's say someone comes up to me and says, show me your money for retirement. I can't put it in my hands in my pocket. I can't pull it out and show them. So they say, well, that means you don't have it. No, I've got it. I just don't have it with me. Does the fact that I can't pull it out right before them, show them the savings, all the stack of money or whatever, is it because I can't do that mean that I don't have it? Of course not. I do have it. Salvation and the victory that you have in Messiah Yeshua is the same thing. You have it even if you cannot see it. But there's a difference in this for this example. The deposits haven't been made by me, and they haven't been made by you, but they have already been made by Yeshua. When he died on the stake, the balance is promised, and the bank is Adonai, and he will not fail you. It is now up to you to live the life in victory because it's in the bank. As we look around, do we actually see our victory yet? No, because it's stored up in heaven for us. That is why it says, so that in the coming age he might show immeasurable riches, which is our salvation. Even now, in this world, he has shown us great portions of his love and his mercy. But even greater portions are to come. The wording of the promises made by Adonai show this. Even the words of Yeshua are of the future. Look how Yeshua words his promises to us in John 16. John 16:33, Yeshua says, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have shalom. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now the NIV says, in this world. And the New Living Translation says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. Yeshua makes a distinction between here, what we have here and now, and what we will have at the end of time in heaven. He was speaking the same way as the prophet Isaiah spoke in Isaiah 25. Sometimes taking that sip doesn't help. It goes the wrong way. Isaiah 25 says this. On this mountain, Adonai Tzivaot will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, of rich food, of choice marrow, of aged wine well refined. On this mountain, he will swallow up the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the veil spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. My Lord Adonai will wipe away tears from every face. He will remove his people's reproach from all the earth. For Adonai has spoken. It will be said in that day, behold, behold, this is our God. We waited for him. He will save us. This is Adonai. We waited for him. We will rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Isaiah 25:6 is a prophecy about heaven and what we're to expect. There will be a feast of Adonai's, and death and the fear of death will be done away with. Then in verse 9 it says, verse 9 says that we will say on that day. That day is the time in the future and is not the present day. It is at the second coming of Messiah Yeshua. The first time Yeshua came, it was to bring a message and a promise of salvation. And the second time will be judgment. When Yeshua comes that second time, then people will say that they have waited. Then they will rejoice. Then they will be glad in his salvation. They rejoice in the salvation because it will no longer be just a promise to them. But it will be salvation delivered. Again, Shaul points out, points our eyes to the future and not to the present when he says this in the second letter to the Corinthians. Apparently, I like quoting five verses today. 2 Corinthians 5:1-5. For we know that if the tent, our earthly home, it's torn down, we have a building from God, a home not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, after we have put it on, we will not be found naked. For we groan like we are in this tent, burdened because we don't want to be unclothed, but to be clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who prepares us for this very special purpose is God, who gave us the Ruach as a pledge. Shaul wants us to understand that the earthly home that he writes about is our current bodies. The heavenly dwelling is the resurrected body promised. The Ruach is given while in the earthly current bodies as a pledge of the resurrection body. This is why we need to accept Messiah Yeshua, so that we obtain the Ruach, which is the promise of our place before him in heaven for all eternity. Even though we've not seen the final victory, we must believe that the victory is eternal because he told us that it is. Believe him because he has never been wrong before. The job of the prophets was to tell of things to come from Adonai. So when Adonai tells us of things still to come by prophets now, we can be assured that he was right before and be right again and will be right forever. As long as we remain in this world, which we know surrounds us in sin, surrounds us in strife, we still have struggles to overcome and battles to fight. But at times we fall and we fail. But we must continue to get back up, asking God to equip us with his grace and power to overcome. As believers, we fight in two worlds. One is a spiritual world, which we battle through prayer and staying connected with Adonai. We're told this in 2 Corinthians 10, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. For though we walk in flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful through God for the tearing down of strongholds. We are tearing down false arguments. We battle through prayer. Fighting the spiritual battle, thinking that physical weapons will succeed, is just silliness. The second world that we battle in is this physical battle. It's in this physical world. One of the best weapons we have is persistence, the ability to continue on regardless of what we feel and what's happening around us. Shaul tells us this in Galatians. Galatians 6:9 says, so let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't give up. Don't lose heart, even after being knocked down a few times, even if being knocked down time after time after time. The final defeat is not getting back up so that Adonai cannot do a good work through you. That's the final defeat. He will have his way. Adonai will have his way. You can be sure of it. But if it's going to be through you, then you cannot remain on the ground. You cannot be as dead on the ground. And when we get back up, we look up at Adonai. We look back up to Messiah Yeshua, and we look to the Ruach HaKodesh. Even if you think you're defeated by the blood of Adonai, you have the final victory. Don't look at just what you see around you. You know, when Messiah was on the stake, there actually were three on the stake that day at that place. Of course, the first was Yeshua, who needed no one to tell him of the victory that he had there. The second and third were thieves. The one thief accepted Yeshua as the Messiah and called on him for eternal victory. And Yeshua says that he will have that victory. Even though the thief couldn't see it that day, it didn't mean he came down off the stake. The other thief there did not accept the witness of Messiah and died a death that led to eternal separation from Adonai. It was because he could not and did not see the victory that was being played out right there before him, and that he did not accept the third party payment for his sin that he'd committed during his life. The payment was being offered, and he refused to accept it. All of us are both of these thieves in our lives, sometimes on the very same day. We need to be the ones who accept Yeshua as our Messiah and therefore see the victory, even in the circumstances that we're in, which don't look victorious. There will be times when the world and Satan seems just too big for us to handle. And we give in to the false witness that the world has, that there's no salvation for you. Look what you've done. Look how bad you've sinned. Maybe for others, but not for you. Well, this is what Shaul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy of the saying. 2 Timothy 2:11. Trustworthy is the saying, he tells Timothy. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He wrote that if we died with him, we will also live with him. I know that especially when you've been knocked down, you may say that you don't remember dying with him. But that doesn't mean that you've not. If you accepted Yeshua's death as the price paid for your sin, then yes, you have died with him. It's a step of faith, remembering what you don't remember, but what you're told to remember. It's the, you know, in towards the end of May, we'll have our micnic again. Part mikvah, part picnic, a micnic. And for those who choose to, they'll go through the waters, through the immersion. And it's symbolic of what? Going under the water in death with him and rising out with life with him. Whether you remember being there at the stake with him or not, you were, if you've accepted his blood. Adonai has allowed us to know that he has won the final battle, and therefore we have won the war already as well. There's still skirmishes, there's still fights, there's still battles to be fought. We may feel beaten up by them, we may feel defeated at times in them, but that does not mean that the war was lost. We have the victory with him in the war. That's the final victory. So although it may not be easy to go through the times, it should be of great comfort to know that it is not leading to a loss, but to a victory, a final victory. This is why we run the race to the end and don't give up. The final battle that determines the result of the war is not until Adonai sees the fullness of time. That's the time when he determines that the fullness of all that needs to be done is done. Don't try to take that out of his hands. He determines it. We don't determine it. Then the time of the final battle will be revealed to us, and the final victory will be had. Until then, remember that each battle we go through is not the final battle yet. You must remember that the game is rigged by Adonai so that you can do nothing but win as long as you stay on his side of the board. You cannot lose. So if it looks dark, if it looks like you've already lost, you're not looking at the same results that Adonai knows. He knows the results, and he wants you to know the results. The final victory is yours. Stay on his side of the board. Father, we thank you that you've let us know of the final victory. We even more greatly thank you that you've had the final victory and you've stored it up for us in a bank that cannot fail. We have trust in banks with our monies today. Yeah. We have greater trust in you. Because something is even more valuable than what we put in banks today. It's our salvation. You've stored it up. You're holding on to it for us. The promise is made. It will not fail because you will not fail. So we thank you that you're holding on to it. We're thanking you that it will not fail. We're thanking you that you've told us about it, and that even in the times that are really hard for us, even in the times when it's a battle right after a battle, you haven't gotten over the last battle, here's the next one. You haven't gotten over that, here's the next battle. That's okay. It's easy for me to say that's okay. I'm not in your battle. But I can say that's okay because he's in your battle. It may feel hard. It may be hard. But he's there for you. Take your eye off the current battle long enough to look your eye. Look up at the with your eye. See the final battle. And know no matter what happens in this battle, I've won the war. Amen?
Amen. Amen.